ask your prayers, cards of your attention a little while. This is a scripture that Roberta gave me. She mentioned this morning begin by one scripture I want to spend some time on is in Judges, I think the 18th chapter. We begin by quoting one from Nahum, the book of Nahum, second chapter of Nahum, the first verse. Thank you, Michael. It says, "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face." It's spoken of a people who were about to face an enemy. But it is no stretch to apply that to the way the devil attacks our souls. And the reason is because any time one people rise up against another, the devil's at the bottom of it. Here's our adversary. The devil's absolutely ruthless. I know you've heard me say this before, but I will again this evening, very convinced it's true. I don't think the devil eases up on somebody because they backslide. I don't think he attacks saints harder than he does other people. I think if he could do what he wants, he'd destroy every one of us just as fast as he could. He has no mercy. He hates us with a bitter and desolate hatred. But he has different ways of attacking. Because in the end, the only way the devil can conquer any of us is if we let him. God gave us a will and a chance to choose, and he will not allow the devil to take that away from us. That's why we're accountable for our choices. Sometimes the devil attacks by trying to just deceive people. He deceived Eve. I don't think she realized the consequence of what she's going to do. I suppose nobody really who's lured into sin can grasp the consequence of what it's going to be. Even people have been saved a long time. They still see into eternity through a glass darkly. I don't think anybody who would look into the red, vivid, burning face of hell would make a choice to go there. It's too horrific. So one of the ways the devil wins souls is to deceive. Have you seen it done? I've seen it done. I've seen people fall under the influence of somebody who's very persuasive, maybe very worldly wise and experienced. It seems so unfair to me for them to pick on somebody that had very little experience with life, had so few defenses, but there was nothing I could do. In the end, people make their own choice. You would go to them and say, "That's dangerous. That's not what you think." But if people allow themselves to be deceived, it's hard to undeceive them. I spent a little bit of time there. There are people who have drunk poison. And I mean that by, there are always rumors and stories and gossip against God's people. And there are leaders who have spent their lives, their very ministry, poisoning other people against the saints. And when somebody drinks that poison, it's very hard for them to ever get a clear vision of the truth again. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. The devil's so cruel. He attacks people who are in grief. He attacks people whose hearts have been broken. He has no mercy. If you ever had the devil come and attack you when you had the flu, and the way I am, after I've had the flu 2 days, I feel like I've been sick forever, and I feel like I'm never going to get well again. And I feel like I've lost every bit of salvation I ever had. And that's when the devil comes and climb right on your back and beat you. Has no mercy. That's one way he attacks, by deceiving people. Another way is by just luring them away. The Bible term is seducing. Something that's so attractive. And that's a way. But there is a third way. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The scripture that I quoted said, "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face." There are times You and I, if we set out to go to heaven, we're not going to go there without a contest. And there are times when the enemy of our soul will just stand in front of us and put one foot on one side of our path and the other foot on the other side of the path and just flat defy you. This is as far as you're going to go. I mean to spill your soul right here today. And when we come into that place, we will find that we need to fight with every bit of courage and strength we have got to defeat the enemy. The devil can make you feel like nobody loves you. He can make you feel like nobody understands you. He can make you feel like the Lord has left you. There are places where it just requires raw courage, raw determination to just stand up in the devil's face and tell him, you may be bigger than I am, and you may be making me feel terrible, but I am trusting one that's bigger than I am, and I believe he will help me. There are times when we have to go just by the kind of faith that old brother Job had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Just resolve. I'm going to go on. Determined. The Lord wants us to be insulated against every one of the means of attack that the devil uses. I remember a whole bunch of years ago, Brother Jim White was testifying about a little division that had come. Some of the Lord's people got led away by something right here at Monarch. And Brother Jim said, when doctors are trying to make somebody immune to something, they take the virus they're trying to immunize you to, or the germ, and they do something to it to make it real weak and sick. And then they give it to you, and your body develops a resistance against that. And he said, you've been immunized. He said, the Lord's immunized us against some things. We've seen enough of it, so we've been injected, and we've developed some antibodies to it, and we're not going that way. There are times when we need to use that kind of place. He that dasheth in pieces, come up before thy face. The rest of that scripture says, keep the munition. Watch the way. Fortify thy loins mightily. But I want to read you this passage here in the book of Judges. It's an ugly story. And I'm going to deal with just a little bit of it here tonight. It's a story of a time when there was no leader in Israel. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. It's a story of a wayward priest, a Levite, found somebody who took him in and prophesied there for a while, and then somebody else came along and said to him, which is better for you, to be a priest to one man and his family or to be a priest to a whole community? So you abandon where you are and come and go with us. And he did. He just left his post and went. The world's that way with religion. The world's cry is, come and be my priest. Come and stand between me and God. There's a lot of religion in the world, folks, that will justify you just in being wherever you are. If you want somebody to shake your hand and tell you that you can go to heaven and that you're all right, you can find them everywhere. Give them your money. Come and attend and fill up their meeting houses. And you can find folks that will justify any kind of sin there is. I'm weary in my spirit from seeing that. I'm weary in my spirit from people with whom the Lord has dealt. And they failed, rejected the call somewhere. Rather than be honest and face it, so much rather hear somebody say, I know I'm not where I need to be, than to reject the voice of the Lord and then go find somebody to justify them where they are and give them excuses and reasons why they should be able to do what they do, and they just go on with a profession. And no blessing is common in the world. Well, that's what old brother Micah did, this priest. I'm sorry? Where am I, Roberta? 18th of Judges. In which verse do I want? I had it a while ago. What you said to me about that city. Oh. 18 and 7.
Thank you. All right. Then the five men departed and came to Laish. This is the story of Micah leading up to this. But I'll not go into that much because I want to concentrate on this city. And saw the people that were at Laish, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And it made them vulnerable. They were quiet and secure. That sounds good. People like it when things are peaceful. That's what gave Adolf Hitler his chance to do the terrible damage that he did. The British didn't want to fight. It was quiet and secure. Making money. Raising their families. Doing the pleasant things of life. That is always a temptation. But there's always a danger. He that dasheth in pieces can come up before your face. Have you had that happen? Have you? You know, you get the flu. You think this will last a week or 3 or 4 days and I'll be well. When you got a diagnosis of cancer, everything shades off in another direction. It gets a lot more serious. Then, here's something here where you got some real hard choices to make. He that dasheth in pieces, I promise you, if you live for the Lord, before your life is over, somewhere, in some way, he that dasheth in pieces will come up before your face. I said it's a home folks message. You can get in a place in church troubles where the people you have trusted the most let you down utterly. You can have people that you would have died for, you feel like, come and tell you that they don't feel like you're even saved, that you need to do some serious changing. People don't always understand each other. People can be mistaken about one another. You get in a place like that. I have had my children come home from school and ask me, why is Daddy not saved anymore? And the reason was because somebody else was telling their children that, and they were going and infecting my children with it. And that, to me, that was a place where Sunday evening come around, and I'm trying to go back to service and worship with these folks. He that dasheth in pieces has come up before my face. It's hard to sing the songs in that kind of setting. You can have it with those kind of troubles. You can have it with physical troubles. Most likely, before your life is over, every one of us here will have some physical symptom in our life that you look at that and say, this could be the big one. This could kill me. You got some choices to make when that time comes. There are other things as well. Setbacks on a job. Troubles of being accused of things that you just didn't do. You just didn't do. That's life. And the old devil will be there to try to destroy you. Now this was a little city. And here's our situation. They were quiet and at peace. That means there's no guards. Nobody is paying attention. Nobody's watching the gate. Nobody is looking out at the wall. The scripture said, I have set watchmen on thy walls, O Jerusalem. God's church needs watchmen. It's easy for us to despise the watchmen. Don't be the minister that comes back. Oh, there's such a pressure against preaching about things today. Don't be the minister that comes to tell us how we ought to dress, what kind of entertainments we ought to stay away from. But there's danger in those things, folks. God commanded his ministers to cry aloud and spare not. Here's a little city in an evil time, and they got no watchmen because they're quiet and secure. If we knew that there were grizzly bears outside this building, we'd be so much more alert to every sound that's going on out there than when we've met here time after time after time and nothing happens. And everything's quiet. It's hard for the best of us to stay on alert all the time. But we've got an enemy. Like a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. Someday, he's going to stand with one foot on one side of your path and the other foot on the other side and defy your soul and mine to go to heaven. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face, the scripture said. So, They were quiet and they were secure. They didn't feel like anybody could hurt them. Another problem was they had no magistrate. A magistrate is a judge. It means somebody who could tell them, you ought to train your children better. You're teaching the wrong things in school. I mean, this was a time, in the time of the judges, in the lax time of the judges, when the folks had gotten far away from God. They had the Ten Commandments. They had the law. They needed somebody to tell them from time to time, you've got to teach this to your children. They don't just know that because you knew it. Now, we're all a little bit that way. Let's face it. Nobody wants to be the one to bring a jolt. But people need it once in a while. They need to be reminded once in a while. For instance, worship service is important. It's important. There are some things in our lives that we need to do. We need to plan our lives so we'll have time for worship service. It's going to cost you something if you don't. They didn't have any magistrate. People could pay attention to the Ten Commandments or not. And nobody said anything. Just do what you want to do. And there's no judge. And there's nobody to reprove. And there's nobody to condemn. Make you feel guilty. And so they just did what they wanted to do. And they didn't realize because it felt good. And everything's quiet. Everything's secure. Didn't realize. It made them vulnerable. Made them vulnerable. And then there's another point. They had no business with anybody else, the scripture said here. And they dwelt far from the Zidonians. I want to give you, it's a home folks message tonight, I want to give you some advice about that. Been watching it a long time. And I know Sister Esther has too, even longer. It isn't good for a congregation to get isolated. I believe in intermingling with the rest of the saints. I believe in attending camp meetings. It's good for us. We are not alone. It's unwise for any congregation to ever start feeling like we're just a little more spiritual than some of the other folks around us. That's a trap. That's a trap. The devil's in that. I've seen it happen through the years. It's easy to do. Get a leader who's teaching a good holy standard, and folks start measuring up to it, and it's easy to look around and see other folks that are not living to quite that same standard, and to feel like we're a little more spiritual than they are. And maybe in some ways you are. But the scripture said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? He standeth or falleth. God's got a way of dealing with those other people. And the devil's got a trap for you and me. If we allow ourselves to feel superior in any means, the devil sees that. He'll find a way to take advantage of it. Let me tell you how it is with congregations. Please listen carefully. Please remember. Congregations go up and down. Sometimes they're many and sometimes they're few. I remember when Brother Leslie Busby was pastor at Springfield, Missouri. Brother Busby, I was there and visited him different times, poured his heart out in that work. Brother Busby is a talented man, is an intelligent man. If he'd wanted to exercise his talents, he probably would be a noted poet somewhere today. But he went to work for temporary services, for manpower, if you will, so he could have time to minister to the congregation. In spite of everything he could do, the congregation dwindled and dwindled and dwindled and got to be fewer and fewer. Time came when Brother Leslie felt like the Lord told him to leave. So he did. It cut him up. It was hard for him to do. But he left. And after he left, the congregation started growing. People moved in from everywhere. After a while, they built a chapel. Brother Leslie spoke to me about it. He said, I don't understand it. I didn't understand it either. But I've learned about it since. Congregations are in God's hands, folks. This is God's church. This is not yours and my church. He moves in areas as it pleases Him. Congregations are not built on the strength of ministers. They're built, that's part of it, I agree, but the real strength is the people who just won't quit.
They just keep coming to service. When it's good and when it's bad. When they enjoy it and when they don't. When it's raining and when it's pretty. They come to service. They worship God. Some people get in quarrels and go away. They won't do it. Some people get old and die. These folks just keep coming. They just keep coming. That's the real strength of congregations. Folks who just keep their hearts in it. Steady as a clock. Steady as a clock. Emotions come and go. Preachers come and go. Congregations are meant to last by God's grace. And they go up and down. And you can't look at it and say it's because of so-and-so's skill or ability or any of those things. This is God's church. And He does what He wants to with it. Oh, my brethren, we need contact with other congregations. It's a good thing when other congregations are having revival meetings, we can go and participate in those meetings. And we welcome them to come and participate in our meetings. Should the Lord give us some insight, some blessing, some experience that lifts us above what some of our brethren have learned, which is possible, when they come, we leaven into them. They get the benefit too. And what we'll find is God's been blessing them and we need what they've got. There's no Moses in the church today. Moses was the great leader of the people. And everybody looked to Moses. The only Moses we've got today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every minister there is in God's church has got shortcomings, and God uses other ministers somewhere else to meet those needs. It's a balance. We need a number of ministers, and we need a number of saints from different places. And I recommend when our young people get old enough to marry, they're wise to seek a companion among the saints. And I recommend that it's wise for us to be in touch with the needs of congregations in various places. We're in the process of building a chapel. There are folks in other congregations who have taken an interest, sometimes back their interest with their money, in helping us. Other congregations are going to build too. When their time comes, we want to do what we can to help them. These folks got in trouble because they had no business with any man. And they were at a distance from the other folks. And when these people who were approaching them saw that, the scripture said, they smote them with the edge of the sword. They just killed everybody there. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Let's don't let the devil ever set us up to be isolated away from God's people. I tell you, folks, when you see somebody voluntarily isolating themselves, there ought to be some red flags go up in your mind. That's a dangerous thing to do. I know that there are people who are isolated and can't help it for whatever reason. But I tell you, God ordained congregations. Most of the New Testament is written to congregations or pastors of congregations. It's clearly God's plan that we know one another and love one another and fellowship one another. I'll take it a step farther. I know movements can fail. I know they can. But I'm going to say stay with the saints. Be awful careful about letting somebody lead you off into something else. I suppose none of us here this evening are in a place to be tempted with that. I hope we're not. But it'll come. It'll come. I've seen a number of it in my lifetime. And you'll see it too. Be awful careful about leaving the saints. There's many a broken heart. There's many a soul lost their hope of eternity going down that road. I believe this people have got the truth. I've seen the Lord bless among us. I remember a few years ago when somebody was leading some folks away, and the way that usually begins is for the person who's about to do it, the leader, to start finding fault with the other ministers and with the saints and pointing out how that the Lord's calling them to something better and got something new and higher. Came around to one brother, older brother, who had some experience among the saints and told him all these things and tried to show him all the faults in the ministers, not only living but the ministers past. And the brother sat there for 2 or 3 hours and listened to that, and then he stopped him. And he said, I knew those men you were talking about. He said, I had confidence in those brethren. I believe they went to heaven. He said, I believe I'm going to go ahead and live the way they live. You know, I don't leave, folks. It's cold out there. It's a hard place when folks take another way. The devil wants to get us isolated somewhere or another. And if he does, the next thing coming is a sword. He that dasheth in pieces has come up before thy face. The scripture said, keep the munition. Munitions are your supplies of war. That's ammunition. That's the fuel for the tanks. That's in the old times, that's the armor or the arrows or whatever it is. Keep the munition. The Lord wants us to be prepared to fight the fight of faith the whole journey in our lives. There is not a place in this world where we can afford to be quiet and secure as when it comes to dealing with the devil. In our worship service, yes, but in our preparedness to meet the devil, we need to be on constant alert. Aware. I'm aware that I need the benefit of the other ministers. God gives them insights that have saved my soul. And I'm desperate for them to be in a place where they can help me. And I want to listen to them with respect when the Lord sends them, whoever it is. Keep the munition. Keep your weapons of war. You can't afford to go days without praying. You can't afford to miss worship service. Keep grace on hands. Keep victory. People get in trouble when they let a little bitterness or a little hurt or a little resentment of some kind get in their life and they don't pray it through. You can get victory over things, folks. When something comes, don't leave it. Brother Darius Gibson told me when I was a young man, said the pioneer ministers taught him, I believe there's scripture to back it, but it's faster to quote Brother Gibson, so I will. He said, the old ministers taught me, if you feel a distance between you and a brother, don't ignore it. Assume that there's something there. Pray about it until God gives you an answer and shows you what to do about it. I think that's real good advice. When our spirits are clear with each other, we flow together. It's natural for us. That's not forced by human ability. That's the Spirit of God that makes it be that way. And if it's not that way, there is a reason. Same with anything that comes in our life that troubles our spiritual experience. Brother Isaac Chandler, I remember, brought a message on forgiving. He said, I've heard some people say, it's easy for me to forgive. Somebody gives me a fault or a problem, I can just get over it. And Brother Chandler said, when I hear somebody like that, I'm convinced you never have really forgiven. He said, I've been hurt so deeply, I had to fast 3 days and nights before I felt clear about it. But there is a place where we get so in touch with God that we feel clear about it. It is not a hindrance to us anymore. We can't afford to go through life with things hanging on to us that have not been prayed through. They'll capsize you. They'll affect the way you raise your children. They'll hinder you in your testimony. They'll cost you spiritual contact with the Lord. We need the grace of God every day. I begin my day every day by telling the Lord, I'm looking for a good day, but I don't know what this day will hold. There have been days when I've had deep disappointment. There have been days that brought great sorrow. I ask you to give me grace for whatever this day holds. When it comes to its end, it may have been a day spent in the service of the Lord. Have mercy on my soul. Help me do so by your heavenly blessings. And there have been things that have come my way that I couldn't solve just with that. And I had to go spend some more time deeply seeking the face of the Lord, asking Him to search my heart. I've had the Lord reveal to me that I had things in my heart that I didn't know I had there myself. And I had to have His grace to help me with it. Keep the munition. Keep the munition. Keep the munition. Watch the way, the next verse says, the next phrase in that scripture, Nahum 2:1. Keep the munition. Watch the way. The Lord said, I am the way and the truth and the life. It helps us sometimes when he that dasheth in pieces has come up before our face to get our eyes on Jesus. Look away from the trouble. You can't solve your trouble. When you got a prediction of cancer, when somebody has told you that your child has rabies or some other serious illness and all the world is ready to persecute you for not taking some serious action, you can't solve that with your human wisdom. You've got to get your eyes on Jesus. You need to get alone somewhere with the Lord and get an answer. Old Brother Ostis Wilson Sr. had a child who was critically afflicted, about to die. And people were turning him into the medical authorities. His wife didn't know what was going to happen, but she testified of him. He had a place out by the railroad track that he'd go out and pray every day. When he died, she told those who came to set a marker, if you're going to set a marker in memory of him, you ought to put it out there by the railroad track. That's where his praying place was. He got out there and got hold of God. And God gave him an answer. He prayed through, and God healed his child. And showed him what to do. Sometimes there are contingencies in our healing. Sister Retha Cole said to me this morning that she, the Lord gave her a scripture in her affliction, little by little. She said that the Lord showed her, I'll drive the enemy out of the land. And she said, it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to be healed immediately. But you can't tell God how to heal you. The whole key is to rise above our solution to it. It'll be the wrong one. Keep the munition. Watch the way. She said, that's the way it's been, little by little. She said, I've learned so much in it. Who knows what God wants to teach you and me, every one of us, before we leave this world. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Fortify thy loins mightily. Your loins are your back. I'll just say it in brief language. Fortify your strength, your courage, your determination. Just make up your mind. This is decided. Today I feel terrible. Today I feel hopeless. I feel defeated. I feel like everything I've tried to do with my life is a failure. But it doesn't matter. I am going to live for the Lord to the best of my ability. I've looked the other way. All I see out there is heartache and sorrow. The Lord's had mercy on me and given me a chance. If I go the rest of the way failing, I am going to live for the Lord. I tell you, the Lord will deliver people who take that kind of attitude toward him. When he was young, he used to hear folks sing a song. Said, if the fields refuse a harvest, the trees no longer bear, and so forth. And it's taken from one of the prophets. Said, yet I know God's on his throne. His ways are just. He'll deliver us, folks. The Lord will go with us. If we live in this kind of way, we can have a place where we ourselves and those we love can come and find deliverance. I don't know anything better you can say of a saint congregation than that. That there's a deliverance at our altars. The people who come here sincerely seeking to find God and answers in their soul, they can find it. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's my little message this evening. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention once again.